So now we'll go on to our last presentation, and it's on land use, and that's being given by Charlotte McKay of the Pebble Partnership.
So we'll try this again, and hopefully this is the version where the font's big enough I can look at it and read it to you. But I will say I expected about three people by the last presentation on the last day, so this is better than I expected. So this is land and water use, first for the Bristol Bay drainages, and then I'll be for Cook Inlet drainages as well. Given this was done by Kevin Waring, and his objectives were to address public and private lands and surface waters in the Bristol Bay and Cook Inlet drainages areas, to describe and map the existing ownership, the use, the management status, and government regimes. His methodology was to review and analyze existing land use studies, plans, management documents, and land records. So this is primarily a document research type method. Again, he has his two different study areas similar to recreation. The regional study area, which includes the mine and transportation corridor study areas and a large surrounding area, basically the 14.4 million acres. It includes the communities of Igiagig, Iliamna, Coconut, Livlock, New Halen, Nundalton, Pietro Bay, and Port Allsworth. The central study area is confined to the three drainages in the vicinity of the Pebble Deposit, the north and south forks of the Coctuli drainage and the upper Tularic, as well as the transportation corridor. The landowners in the regional study area were mostly state government, federal government, Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act village and regional corporations, borough and city governments, state and municipal land trustee programs, Alaska Native allotment owners, and other private landowners. It's a very lightly populated area. If you disperse the population through the whole regional study area, it comes out to one person for every 9 square miles. This is a map showing the land ownership. Again, the blue is state lands. The pink is native patent or conveyance. The orange is BLM. The green is National Park Service. And the yellow dot is the general deposit area for reference. The pink magenta lines are the study area boundary for the central study area. This was a quote out of Kevin's study about the complexity of ownership. The pattern of land ownership and management is complex and multifaceted, with intermingled land ownership, still pending land transfers, and overlapping federal, state, local, and private management regimes and activities. So it's very multi-layered out there and somewhat in flux. The federal government lands are largely the National Park Service, again, the Lake Clark National Park and Reserve, Katmai National Park and Reserve, and the Alagnik Wild River, and the Bureau of Land Management on the unencumbered lands. State land is the major landowner in the study area. The Pebble Deposit and the surrounding immediate lands are all on state land. All state-owned lands and state-selected lands in the study area are covered by the Bristol Bay Area Plan. The Bristol Bay Area Plan governs these state lands by establishing use categories. The Pebble Deposit is on state lands designated for mineral use. The central study area does not include lands designated for recreation-related uses. The Nooshiegak and Mulchatna Rivers Recreation Management Plan is under the umbrella of the Bristol Bay Area Plan. So this is a figure showing the general land use in the area. Blue is designated for general use. The dark green there is habitat. The olive green is mineral development. The yellow is public recreation, and the red is for settlements. The Pebble Deposit is the yellow dot in the middle of a large brown block of mineral use land. The Nooshiegak and Mulchatna Rivers Recreation Management Plan is lands designated for recreation-related purposes. It does not apply to federal, municipal, or private lands. And the Lower Tulare Creek Special Use Area is managed by the Alaska Department of Natural Resources for the purpose of enhancing the world-class recreational rainbow trout fishery, protecting high-value fish and wildlife habitat, and providing recreational opportunities for commercial and non-commercial users. There are several state easements and rights of way in the area. The RS-2477 of the Mining Act of 1866 granted public rights of way as land was transferred from the federal government to state or private ownership. And this is a list of trails that are documented as RS-2477 rights of way. The local governments within this area are the Lake and Peninsula Borough, the Dillingham Census Area, and the Bristol Bay Borough. The Lake and Penn Borough owns land in Upper Chicot Creek Valley near Pedro Bay. They have not adopted zoning authority. They do require permits of projects such as the Pebble Project, and they have a severance tax that would apply to pebble mineral production and gravel extraction. The Dillingham Census Area does not have a borough government. And then the Bristol Bay Borough is 90 miles southwest of the Pebble Deposit. They do have the comprehensive plan adopted in 2006 that addresses both economic development. It has no zoning or subdivision ordinances, however. The local communities and land use in this area include the four Lake Region communities in the study area itself: Iliamna, Nondalton, New Halen, and Pedro Bay. Both New Halen and Nondalton are second-class cities. They have land use planning and regulatory powers. They have chosen not to exercise those powers at this time. We also have the ANCSA Regional and Village Corporations. These are the largest private landowners in the area. Most of the Bristol Bay Native Corporation land is outside of our study area. CIRI has no holdings in the Bristol Bay Drainage Study Area, though you'll see they do in the Cook Inlet. 7 of the 29 Bristol Bay Native Corporation ANCSA Village Corporations in the study area. And there are some holdings of note. There's Iliamna Natives Limited near Iliamna, Alaska Peninsula Corps near New Halen, Keejack Corporation near Nondalton with inholdings in Lake Clark National Park and Preserve, and Pedro Bay Corporation in the Transportation Corridor Study Area. Mining claims. After the Pebble Deposit was found and claimed, there were a lot of other findings that followed after that. This is fairly usual when you find a deposit. It often indicates there might be other mineral-rich areas nearby. Active exploration at the time of this report included Pebble East and Pebble West by the Pebble Partnership, Pebble South by Full Metal Minerals, Big Chunk Super by Liberty Star Uranium and Metals, Chilcat West and Chilcat East, and Kuksetna by Andover Ventures, the Iliamna Project Block D&H by TNR Gold, Fog Lake by Andover Venture, and KUI by Andover Ventures. So there are several different companies looking in the area. And this is a figure of current mining activity. Each little reddish dot on the figure is a mining exploration property. The yellow dot is the Pebble Deposit. And again, the land ownership, most of these are on state land, which is blue. This slide shows the progression of the mining claims after Pebble was filed. So Pebble is the green, and are the green active Pebble claims, and the yellow are active non-Pebble claims. So the other companies that have come in around us. So you can see it goes 2001, 2002, 2003, it really starts to pick up a big boom in kind of 2004 and 2005 that has stayed fairly constant, though decreased somewhat as people refine their claims over time. In the Cook Inlet for land and water use, We again have a regional study area, which is the coastal uplands between Lake Clark National Park and Katmai National Park. Within this area, there's 577,000 acres of uplands and 704,000 acres of tidelands and submerged lands. There's a central study area, which again is right in the vicinity of Iliamna and Anniskin Bays. The landowners in the regional study area, again, the state of Alaska is the largest landowner with 345,000 total acres, which include the McNeil River State Game Refuge and Sanctuary, and most of the balance of state lands surround the refuge and the sanctuary. The regional and village native corporations are the next largest landowner with 166,000 areas of patent or interim conveyance and 64,000 acres that are selected but not resolved at this point in time. Then there are some Alaska Native allotments, and the Bureau of Land Management has 182 acres. This is a figure for land ownership in this area. The blue again, state, pink is the native. So you can see there's a lot of native corporation lands towards the north and a lot of state lands down towards the south around the McNeil River area. This is the central study area showing ownership, because there's some private inholdings in here that just didn't really show up on the larger scale. Most of these are down around the Cottonwood Bay area, which is a bay that's off the side of Iliamna Bay and up towards Chinitna Bay. For the state lands, they fall under the Kenai Area Plan, though it's not applicable in the central study area. It only affects a small part of the regional study area, primarily the McNeil River State Game Refuge and Sanctuary, the Kemishak Special Use Area, which includes Augustine Island, and the Lake Clark Coastline Special Use Area, which are some tidelands that are in and adjacent to Lake Clark, basically between Tuxedni Bay and Chinitna Bay. The McNeil River State Game Refuge and Sanctuary is a major land use component here. It's managed to provide permanent protection for brown bear and other wildlife, fish populations, and their habitats. And of course, the prime activity is wildlife viewing, mainly brown bear viewing. And I just really needed a photo, so I took this off the National Park Service webpage, and I hope that's okay. The Kemishak Special Use Area is state parcels that partly overlap with McNeil River Sanctuary and Katmai National Park. They're managed for wildlife habitat and harvest. Public recreation is a secondary value. The state of Alaska National Park Service have at times had some inconclusive discussions about trading lands in exchange for other federal lands elsewhere. They're kind of these yellow lands down between the dark green and the tan, which is the refuge, and so they're just kind of scattered in there. The Lake Clark Coastline Special Use Area, as I said, goes from Tuxedni Bay down along the coast down into Chinitna Bay for extensive tidelands. It's managed for brown bear, fish, seabirds, waterfowl habitat, and breeding grounds, and is outside the central study area to the north. Within the Kenai Area Plan for the regional area, public recreation is for 591,000 acres of tidelands. They have designated habitat use for 421,000 acres of uplands and 221,000 acres of tidelands. General use area is 26,000 acres of uplands. Heritage has 22,000 acres. Harvest has 7,000 acres of tidelands, and then there's some others for about 6,000 acres. The federal government lands include the Bureau of Land Management, which has a small amount of land in the area, the Park Service, which manages Lake Clark and Katmai, and is peripheral to the study area. Fish and Wildlife Service, there's the Alaska National Maritime Refuge, which includes several islands in the study area. The Kenai Peninsula Borough Comprehensive Plan provides general planning functions in the study area, but nothing specific to the Pebble Project. It does note that Alaska Department of Transportation intent to improve port facilities at Williamsport and the road to Pyle Bay. Within Cook Inlet region for private lands, land selection areas, there is one parcel that is a site recommended by Iliamna Regional Transportation Corridor Analysis as a port site and roadhead. And then the Saldovia Native Association and Tyonic Native Corporation own lands throughout this region. And that was Kevin's presentation for land use. Any questions? It's the grand finale.